Last night, Detroit Mayor Dave Bing reaffirmed the city's financial troubles and outlined some of the ways his administration has worked to cut costs and still maintain basic city services. He introduced programs to demolish the Brewster Housing Project and establish a Detroit Blight Authority. The mayor said the story of Detroit is not all doom and gloom. And quote, "We can't, we won't give up on our city."
It's time to change the conversation about Detroit. It's time to focus on the many positive changes taking place.
Mayor Bing joins us now. Mr. Mayor, you acknowledged you walked into a fiscal mess when you took office and said the city's options are not pretty, but you also laid a good portion of the city's money problems at the feet of state government. Would you explain that?
We have had for the past 11 years, state revenue sharing has declined to the tune of about $702 million. Had we had that money, Detroit would not be in the fix that it's in today. Since I've been in office since 2009, the state's revenue sharing has declined $94 million. So once again, the state has balanced its budget on the backs of some of its major cities, and this being the largest city, it has hurt us more than anybody else.
You introduced the Detroit Blight Authority, and there's a pilot program. What is this, and where will you start?
We've got a pilot program that is underway, headed up by the Pulte family, but they've engaged other stakeholders in the city of Detroit to help us clean up some of the blight, and we're going to do it in large swaths across the city. We have not determined where we're going to go next. But one of the things that I'm very pleased with, to date, it doesn't cost the city any money. Pulte and the other stakeholders in the private area are doing this on their own to help clean up the city, and I'm totally appreciative toward that.
You listed public safety, public lighting, public transportation, and neighborhood blight as top priorities and outlined progress in those areas. What further changes can we expect so that Detroit is safer?
We've got to make improvements in every one of those areas. We've got to get the bonds sold so that we can start looking at what we can do to bring lights back on in the city. We're working toward that end as I speak. Over on the transportation side, it's not going to happen overnight, but we're working very closely with the federal government for additional equipment, additional technology, and that's going to help us, I think, with on-time service. As we look at blight across the city, we've already talked about that. And one of the things that we haven't talked about is the whole financial stress that the city has been under for a long time. We are addressing those problems. Initially, we were having all kinds of cash flow problems, but we have solved that in the short term. We don't have cash flow problems throughout the rest of this fiscal year, which ends on June 30th. Doesn't mean that we solved the problem. It's short-term, and we've got to now deal with some of the long-term obligations that we have.
You talked about the number of city employees being reduced from something more than 13,000 to something more than 9,000 on the payroll. Yesterday, I want to talk about one of our reporters was at Pershing High School where there was a gang fight. The police gang task force responded. One of the concerns is that you plan to dissolve the gang squad, redistribute those officers to different precincts, diminishing or eliminating its effectiveness. Why are you doing that?
What we're doing is putting the gang squads or those officers back into the precincts. It doesn't mean that they're not going to watch and get information on what's happening as far as gangs are concerned. If you were to compare our city to some of the other major metropolitan areas, Miami, Chicago, L.A., they have huge gang problems. We don't have huge gang problems. We've got young individuals that are fighting over turf more than anything else. And we think that we can help solve the problem by putting the police officers into the precincts where a lot of this activity is going on.
One of the police officers indicates that's like putting them in the precinct to push paper rather than actually be on the scene and help stop some of these conflicts.
Not true. You talk to one police officer, that doesn't mean that's the direction that we're going in. I think the chief knows exactly what he's doing. There are more and more police that are going to be on the street. I think I said last night that about 80% of our police officers will be on the street. About 15% will be in the investigative union, in the investigative area, and about 5% will be in administration. So we're not looking at people pushing paper. We get them away from that, getting them out in the street where the activity is.
You're listening to Stateside, and we're talking with Detroit Mayor Dave Bing about his State of the City address delivered last night. Other than an oblique reference to there being no emergency manager to date and no bankruptcy, you really didn't address the very real possibility of a state-appointed emergency financial manager. Why not?
Because I don't have control of that. Why should I talk about something that I have no control of? The governor is the one that has control, and that question should be in his lap, not mine. We're doing everything that we can to correct the problems that we have in the city. I will continue to focus on that. I can't spend a lot of time worrying about whether or not an emergency manager is going to come in, because if I don't focus and do the things that I'm supposed to do, that will happen.
You said, quote, "my job is not done," hinting you might run, but you've...
I didn't hint anything. All I've said is my job's not done, and it isn't done. I mean, in 4 years that I've been here, I inherited a 40-year mess. You can't fix it in 4 years. So my job is not done, and I got to continue to work to fix as many problems as I can.
So what do you hope that Detroit citizens take away from your State of the City address last night?
That we are doing positive things in the city. We need to get away from all of the infighting, the finger-pointing, the backbiting. Look, a lot of good things are happening. That's what we ought to be promoting, and stop trying to make us fight against each other. When we fight against each other, nobody wins.
What do you do as you move forward now?
I continue to focus on those four areas that I talked about, and that would be public safety, that would be public lighting, that would be public transportation, that would be elimination of blight. If I do those things, I think the city starts to come back as fast as it can.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Joining us now to talk further about the mayor's speech is Michigan Radio's Detroit reporter Sarah Swick. First, Sarah, what was your overall impression of what the mayor had to say last night?
It sounded very much to me like he very much wanted to focus on the positive. In fact, he said that about changing the conversation about Detroit and really sort of highlighting a list of his signature policy initiatives that he feels like they have truly made some progress on, that being the fight against blight and vacant housing, the Detroit Works Project, all of now the Detroit Future City Plan, a long-term plan for the city. So he did briefly address the city's financial problems at the beginning, but it sounded very much more like someone talking about their legacy, about the groundwork that they've laid going into the future.
We've seen some criticism that while he was upbeat, the mayor really didn't do much to comfort Detroit citizens that their lives are going to get much better anytime soon, or that they could feel more safe, or that emergency help will respond any quicker. Did you hear anything like that?
I didn't, and a few people that I've talked to afterward had said, I don't necessarily know what people's expectations were going into this, but they had hoped to hear something a little bit more solid, at least some kind of vision from him about dealing with this short-term cash crisis that Detroit is in and the prospect, imminent prospect of an emergency manager coming into the city. So people did, I think, in general, want to hear a bit more of that, and they really didn't.
I thought it was interesting when he talked about crime in the city. He talked about crime going down, except for homicides, and then saying the fight against crime must involve everyone. That could be, I think, kind of interpreted badly when you consider the time it takes for police or fire to respond, because personnel are scattered so sparsely across the city. So his answer is more police mini stations. How will that fix that, and how are we all supposed to fight homicide?
The Detroit Police Department just internally has had a really difficult time during Mayor Bing's administration. There have been several police chiefs. The current police chief, Chester Logan, is actually an interim chief. There's a search on for a new one. That appears to be going rather slowly. But this is sort of what we've heard from them continually about crime is, well, first of all, they'll say overall crime is down. Yes, we do have this murder problem. I don't know if that's particularly comforting to people, living in the city. But we do need, everyone to be involved in this. But we also need to reorganize the police department a little bit. I think people are at this point just want to see some sort of action. They want to see some police on the streets. They want to see, Mayor Bing has promised, put 80% of the police department on patrol. I think people want to see that before anyone's really going to feel any differently. And it's just there's sort of this pervasive sense that crime in Detroit goes unpunished. And I think until people see more of a police presence, that that is not going to change.
Let me ask you to speculate a little bit. We heard the mayor last night. Will anything the mayor plans matter much now if the governor appoints an emergency financial manager?
I think it's interesting because I talked to Chris Andrews, who is the program management director of the city. He's an appointed person who came on after the city got into a financial stability agreement with the state last year. And he was talking about long-term restructuring, and they've hired these outside advisors, counselors, law firms, turnaround artists, basically, to sort of help them. So in one sense, I don't know how much control or how much input the mayor and the city council will really have if an emergency manager comes in, and it seems at this point like one probably will at some point. But it seems like a lot of the groundwork is sort of being laid already for trying to restructure and reorganize the city in a way that I think they're hoping that they can avoid going through bankruptcy. But they're setting the stage for, I think, the worst case scenario.
All right. Sarah Swick is a Michigan radio journalist. She covers Detroit City Hall and anything else the city throws at her. All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Up next, campus housing for transgender students and a conversation with Marvin Gaye's little sister about the stage performance of My Brother Marvin. That story coming up in 15 minutes here on Stateside.